Blog Talk Radio.
Of the scriptures today. We're going to be dealing with John chapter 20.
and how Mary began to come to the tomb, and she came to an empty tomb. She came to a risen Jesus Christ. So for those of you who are called into the station and want to be a part of the show this afternoon, we want to give the number to you, which is 347-637-1074. For those of you seeking information about me and here at the Harvest New Life Church, Pastor Charles Ellis, you can go to our website, which is www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. When you pull up the website, go to the service location or the service icon. Look right over to your right-hand side. You'll see all the information you need to see concerning this radio broadcast tonight in our locations of Sunday service. And for information for those who don't catch the service, you can go to our archives, and you can go to Facebook or Twitter, and you can pull this information up once again, and you can hear it for yourself in your spare time, if you so feel. But we thank you once again. We just want to give a shout-out to the First Lady, Patty Ellis, here at Harvest New Life Church, and all the members here that have been supporting us during the course of the time. It seems like we go through so much stress and so much strenuous times. But one thing about it, I can declare a decree that if you believe in the word of God and everything he's promised on this word, we'll come out as white as snow. And I believe that in the name of Jesus, that we speak whatever is in our mouth, decree it and declare it, it shall come to full fruition. Once again, I'm Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas, Texas. For me personally, for those who want to come in contact with me during the show or after the show, you can leave me a message during the show, and I will make sure I return your call after the show. The number you can reach me at is 214-870-2146. And we thank you once again for joining us here on Power to Harvest radio station. And let's just open up with prayer and get into this word, and let's hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say that's coming from the kingdom. Father God, we thank you once again for giving us this platform. Lord, we declare and we decree, Father God, even as your prophet begins to speak, let every outside spirit become unchecked to the force of what you're about to bring forth today. Lord, we decree the plan according to the power, to the grace and the mercy and the authority of the revelation of the Holy Ghost, that you move, Father God, in this teaching like wildfire. We declare, we decree, we speak according to your will, your word, your purpose, and your power. Speak to the mouth of your prophet, Father God. Hide me behind the cross, Father God, and let every negative thing that try to come against us, Father God, we wrap it in the blood chains of Jesus, and we shut down every soothsaying spirit. Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we declare and we decree, we speak and we call it to come forth. We release it into the third heavens, that it will not come back void, but it will accomplish all that in therein. Let the ears who have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to his body. These things we ask are not of ourselves, but of the name of the Most High God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pray, Lord, amen. Well, first of all, let's get over to the book of John. Chapter 20, let's get right into this study, and let's look at some of the things that the Holy Spirit is about to reveal to us concerning this very prophetic message about the Messiah. If he never would have left, we would never have the right to where we are tonight. But he did come that he may die and we may have the right to the tree of life. The word of God does declare in John 14 and 12, and you know, I go to my Father and greater works that you may do. As we continue to understand in John 14 and 12, he does say he goes back to the Father, and the greater works we will be able to do. But first, let's get to the stage of what the relay really comes in effect, coming down to this holiday season and the birthday of Jesus Christ. And it says over here in verse 1 of John chapter 20, it says that Mary Magdalene comes to Jesus' tomb and finds it empty, and she tells the disciples about it. It says, now on the first day of the week, which was Sunday, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, about 5 o'clock in the morning. I would believe from my studies and understanding this, that it was still dark, and she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Now we want to stay here because we don't want to rush through the story. And it goes on in the second verse, and it says, then ran and came Simon Peter to the other disciples whom Jesus loved. Well, Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "Thou have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where." Think about this. We do not know where they have laid him. Now, through the course of the ministry, the course of the time, Jesus told them over and over again, I'm about to leave here. The works that I'm doing is about to be finished. I came to do the works of the one who sent me. But as we begin to look at the first and second verse, we want to study this and we want to look at it a little closer about the events that actually took place when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb that early morning. Other gospels tell that she was not alone. She was not the only woman when she came to the tomb that morning. At least three other women accompanied her. But Mary was the one who ran back and told the disciples about the empty tomb. We talk about the story about Jesus at the well and how the woman who had the variations of husbands and going through the very criteria in her life and all of subverting things and all the proclivities that was happening in her life, and Jesus began to give her a prophetic word. Well, she got up, and she began to drop the bucket, and she ran back and told the whole city. See, when you hear the word of God, you automatically become a powerful evangelist. That's why the word says in Revelation 2 and 7, if you got an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church. Now, let's continue to stay here in the first and second verse, and let's give a little bit more. Let's eat on this a little bit more. He said, all this shows is that the women and the disciples did not believe he will be resurrected. Now, Mary was stunned, and she went back and told the rest of them that they'd taken him away, and we do not know where he have laid him. Now, indications say that they think Joseph and Nicodemus may have removed the body, but that wasn't so. Now, we go on and look at it a little bit more, and he said they have taken him away out of the tomb. Mary wasn't wishing, or she wasn't expecting a resurrection, and hopefully imagining it, she and the others yet did not believe when they saw the corpse was gone. They believed that it was stolen. They thought that Joseph or Nicodemus had begun to take the body or sought to try to take the body away. Now, as we go down to the third verse, we want to look real closely at this. It says, therefore, the word came forth. It says, therefore, Peter made action. I believe the book of James declared this word. Show me a man who has faith but no works, and I'll show you a man's faith that's dead. Peter began to put in the action of the word he heard coming from Mary Magdalene. This is how we're supposed to respond. Not doubting, but when Jesus says something's going to take place, he said it's going to happen. I believe in Isaiah 55:11, he said his word is not a void word. In other words, I don't write blank checks. Whatever I say is going to accomplish all that therein. It's going to do what it said it's going to do. John, in the book of John, in the disciples read of John 1:1, it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with. This was a Word that's getting ready to move. It's about to shake the foundation under the feet of the disciples. As we look at this third verse, and it says that Peter therefore went forth and the other disciples, and they came to the sculpture. Notice what it's saying. And so they both ran together, and the other disciples did outrun Peter, and they came first to the sculpture. Now, let's look at that a little closer about how the disciples began to outrun one another with the expectation, I want to see what seems to be doubting in my mind about what he said the time he was here. Now, this is very important that we think about this. The time that Jesus was here on earth, he performed all sorts of miracles, all sorts of power events in the face and the eyes of his own disciples. Yet they did not believe. I declare the word of God according to the kingdom that even as we begin to speak, when Jesus is going to perform his second miracle after performing the first miracle, was turning the water to wine, he was on his way to heal the woman with the issue of blood. Stay with me because we're going here somewhere. We're talking about a faith walk. Not only in an event was taking place, but a sure word that's coming from the mouth of a man who's come straight from the kingdom to do the work that God is sending him to do. Now, on his way, he gets a call from a young man. There's a word coming again that talks about Jairus' daughter who was very sick. Now, we all understand and know that Jairus was a teacher of the synagogue. He was a man supposed to have faith and believe that whatever he speak out of his mouth can come to full fruition. Is anybody here? Am I talking to anybody this afternoon? When you speak a word and you say you're representing the kingdom, you ought to be able to have the facts in front of you that know your word has got the power to perform that and all therein. Now, when he got to the house, he began to lay hands on the dismal, and the people who were in the room with him, he had to put them out. Now, Pastor, what are you saying right here? That even in the event when we look at that Mary Magdalene going to the tomb early that morning in verse 1 on the first day of the week, believed that it was going to be a body there. And the word was told to her over and over again that I'm about to be handed over. Not only am I about to be handed over the hands of men, but I'm going to have to leave here. But when I leave it, a greater work that you will be able to do, because now I have to go to my Father. And we understand that she went back and began to tell those, Peter and the other disciples, John, when the one that Jesus loved, they was even stunned and they was even startled, because there was something about that pricked them in their mind that they didn't understand that the words Jesus said right then and there was going to come to full fruition. Stay with me, because I want you to hear this. Now, on the way from leaving Jairus' daughter's house, this goes to show you about the doubt that was in the minds of the disciples. When he left Jairus' house, on the way to heal the woman with the issue of blood, they say that when he was in the crowd, the woman pushed through with the faith to understand if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Now, we talk about somebody that's really outside belief that had the faith. Now, his disciples was around him. And the very words that came from his main boys with that master, there's so many people who fawn among you, and you say somebody touch you. Now, you tell me, if the man who performed all the miracles that you've seen with your natural eye said to you as being a disciple and a follower, a protege, told you somebody touched him, then he touched him. Brings me back to the indication of what happens right over here in John 20, chapter 2. They say the woman ran back and told Peter. Peter then began to take off and run to the tomb. They ran not in faith, but they ran in its belief, because they were going to see something that's about to mesmerize them beyond their comprehension. And when you look at this verse, you think about it really closely, they said when he got there, they say he arrived first. Matter of fact, John arrived first. And it goes on in the fifth verse, and it says, John stooped down and looked in and saw the linen cloth lying. Refers to the fact that the lying of the clothes, they was in order, according to John 19:40. I want you to take your notes. They say, if someone had stolen his body, they would not have bothered, come on somebody, to take the linen raiment with them. Why would somebody steal the body and not take the clothes with them? Something spectacular is about to take place. Let's move on down, and let's hear something that's about to mess you up in your faith and your understanding, that even when we look at this, they taking away the Lord out of the tomb, she said, and that she wasn't wishing for a resurrection, and then hopefully imagining it, she had no thought of a resurrection yet. It hadn't dawned upon her. Ain't it something when a word comes to you through a prophet, through a pastor, through a man of God, and he speaks into your life, you don't believe until you see it. That's the problem. And the word of God indicates right there in the book of Hebrews, faith comes by hearing. No, I'm sorry, let me back that up. He said that the word of God, that is the faith, that is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I got to correct that because I want to get it right. Even though we think about faith coming by hearing, but this is the same secret of saying that when you don't see it, the mirror reflection of your mind that near believe that the possibility is there, because it was a word coming from a man of God who spoke through the mouthpiece as a man of God, and he declared what's come from the kingdom. You ought to believe and understand it with expectation to know that something in your life is about to take place. This woman of God, I'm not saying to the point that she doubted totally, but she had some kind of doubtfulness in her mind that when she went to the tomb with the herbs and the spice, believing that the body was yet going to still be there, Jesus had told her that he's going to rise up, and he's going to go down, and he's going to kick the bottom up out of hell, and he's going to loose the captive, and he's going to shake the mind of every individual on this earth. But even when they begin to see these things begin to take place, they yet begin to wonder and mesmerize in their mind. But if this was true, and we're going down to the fifth verse, and he stooped down, and he looked and saw the linen cloth lying, yet he was not in it. Come on, somebody. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sculpture, seeing the linen clothes lie. Now, when we think about the word lie, it's like if you or my whether those of you are married and those of you who wash clothes and know how to fold clothes and just don't shoot them in the corner, throw them somewhere. You know, lie means to be neatly folded and neatly laid down. Some people might get a resurrection of this. They might maybe get some evidence of this. Maybe you need to learn how to lay things down and fold them neatly. Maybe you need to know how to lay your problems at the feet of Jesus. He said, cast all your cares to me, because I'm the one that careth for you. But they went into the tomb, and they saw the clothes lying. And it said in the 7th verse, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Come on, somebody. Let's look at that a little closer. Let's really focus on that part right there. It wasn't lying with the linen clothes, but it was folded somewhere neatly and gently, like somebody had laid it up and just the neck took it up and just folded it up neatly and laid it over there. Now, when we look at this, the napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen clothes, present that which is extremely astonishing and interesting, considering that Jesus' head and face had been so altered, he had been so torn apart through the process of going through his beating that he was just unrecognizable. But the wrapping of the linen together in a place itself, one of these actions speaks of the his and which accompanied the moving of the stealing of the body. Listen to what I'm saying. It looked if someone came in and rather took the body, because they saw the napkin laying neatly separated from the linen itself, rather than something done deliberately or something done with such a way that it couldn't really perfect the resurrection. It's as if he got up, or the angels that were standing at the foot of the tomb and at the top of the sculpture began to fold these napkins, and knowing that when he came up out of his grave clothes, that it was a mortified body. It didn't have to be touched, that he walked through doors. Come on, somebody. That he walked through everything that was before him, yet he still had the body that he could perform action and do things like we normally do as a human being. I'm talking about something supernatural that happened in that tomb during the course of this time. And let's think about this. When we look at verse 3 to verse 10, Peter investigated the tomb. Peter therefore went out, and the other disciples were going to the tomb. Now, he had came out, and they was going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciples, they say, outran Peter and came to the tomb first and stooped down and looked in and saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went in the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief, or the napkin, as you would call it, that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Ladies and gentlemen, this ought to be something that's really astonishing you right now. We're talking about something that you hadn't even understood or knew anything about. Then the other disciples came to the tomb first, went in also, and saw and believed. Now, they didn't believe until they went in, meaning they ran to the tomb to see and investigate if this word that the woman of Mary brought back was true. And yet they did not know the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. He was telling this all the time. Then the disciples went away, and again they went to their home. Let's think about that. They saw what they wanted to see, and then they went away and they came again. But when they left, they went away to their homes. But the other disciples, as a matter of the author of humility, John does not refer to this directly. Now, John, the writer, he don't refer to this correctly, as if we don't refer to it correctly when we hear something. We never really go in with the faith of knowing that we see something that has taken place, but we have no physical evidence. And they say faith coming by hearing, and hearing come by the word of God. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not going to take place. It talks about how John refers to himself, not indirectly, but indirectly to the other disciples. He stooped down and looked in, arriving first at the tomb. John was looking in an ancient Greek word called belop, and that's a B-L-E-O-P, meaning he clearly see the material object. He saw everything right there, and he saw the grave clothes still in the tomb, but there wasn't no Messiah. Is anybody here? I don't know if you're catching this or what I'm telling you. There's something that's supernatural that can take place in your life as well, that even when you look at something that's going wrong in your life, Jesus has got the ability to firmly take your problem and fold it and lay it right there to the point that you don't even have to touch it again. And everybody around you won't even have to believe the fact of what you said. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if you are one and a woman who walk by faith and not by sight, I declare by the word of God, you will see the fruition of the power of the Spirit move in your life. Jesus performed something very supernatural on his day to the point that it mesmerized his own people who follow him, his own disciples, his own followers. So go with you. You speak a word in your life, and a man of God speaks a word over your life, and you line up with the Spirit, and you believe that what that word he spoke is going to come to pass. I will guarantee you, man and woman of God, you will never doubt ever again in your life. But when you begin to doubt because you don't see the physical expectation of something that was prophesied or spoken to your life, Jesus prophesied many words to his disciples, of course, the time he was here. He performed many miracles around them, but yet in the incident of the very true one about the death and burial, they did not believe. They believed that they were going to go to the tomb and see the body still yet laying there. You believe when the word comes to you that you yet still see your problem there. And God is telling you to lay Jesus said, lay your problem at my feet. I don't care what you're dealing with, but lay it at my feet. Even in the midst of your trials, God is steady giving you a word. But somehow, upon seeing the grave clothes and how they laid on the bed of the tomb, John believed that Mary's report was true. And something awesome, I mean incredibly unique, happened on that particular night. So far, all we have was an empty tomb. The apostles never emphasized an empty tomb. But a risen Lord. They knew he was going to raise again, but they never predicted it would be an empty tomb. This is why I contradict these theories about how they say they found the bones of Jesus in a grave. Now, you ain't found the bones of no Jesus in my grave, in no grave that I knew of. You might have found the bones of Yahweh or somebody, or some of these other prophets, but you ain't found the bones of no Jesus in no grave. They knew Jesus had risen because they saw and touch his resurrected body. Come on, somebody. He allowed them to lay hands on him, even touch the nails in his hand, even through Thomas's disbelief. Whatever happened to that grave, those grave clothes, it surrendered a truth of a real event that took place in the lives of these disciples. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, it takes some of us to go through some stuff, to see some stuff, rather than us going through and believing by faith that even though we don't see it, sometimes we got to get what you call duped in such a way. We got to get flipped around before we start believing the true word of God and emphasizing on what God said, that your life can be just like this empty tomb, that everything in your life can be risen up, folded neatly, if you just put all your trust in me and believe and declare that I'm a God that shall not lie. Now, I'm a son of a man that I shouldn't have to repent. Jesus made the indication in Numbers 23:19-21 that he didn't lie, nor would his son lie, because the son is coming to a representation of the kingdom. The word of God clearly states over in the book of John, when you look over to John 14, and you see that prophetic word that he says over in John 14:10, he said, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Now listen to what he says. The words that I speak, what did Jesus do to them? He spoke a word to them. He declared to them that I must go. I got to go to my Father. But in the book of Hebrews 12, he said, I am the author. I am the finisher of your faith. In other words, I'm going to show you how this is supposed to be done. I can't be with you alone. Sometimes people who hang around your life to help you can be a hindrance to you. Sometimes they're just designed to be a booster cable to get your faith up to keep you going. But if you rely on that human report, you'll by no means fall flat on your face. Because God only sends a word through the mouth of a man to get you to understand that what he's about to tell you will line up in the spirit. He says over in John 14:11, believe it or not that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. I say the Father's going to do the work. But I speak of the word. He said, I speak of the word not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the work. Did I miss that? I said, the Father's going to do the work. He going to do the work. And we go down and we look at this scripture, and we're going back over to the book of John, the 20th chapter. We're going down to the 8th verse. Notice the words that he said. Then he went also other disciples which came first to the sculpture. Why did they get there first? Speaks and tells of John entrance into the tomb. Now with Peter, they're coming together. And they saw, and then they believed. Now, hold on a second. I believe the word says faith coming by hearing. Hearing come by the word of God. And these men in God were walking with the Messiah. And yet they have doubt about the words that the Messiah spoke and said would actually take place. This is something interesting that we all need to look at. Because sometimes the flesh gets in our way. And when the flesh gets in our way, Galatians tells us over in Galatians 5, it becomes contradicted between the spirit. It begins to believe what he want to do. It believe what it want to do. And you got to understand that in your life, according to Ephesians 6, you don't fight against flesh and blood. There's something the Holy Spirit left with you that you may understand that with the empty tomb, now you are presented with something much more powerful than the physical presence of Jesus Christ. His blood was shed for the remission of your sins. That even when you seem like you still keep going backwards, you got to understand that you got to repent. And you got to understand that by no means and believe that God and through his son, Jesus Christ, that you can be delivered from whatever it is that you're going through. Am I talking to somebody this afternoon? I believe the word of God makes it very clear that the faith word comes through the ear of a man of God. And when you understand that your heart is the soul and the heart is the sack of your soul, what goes in your heart comes out through your natural mouth. Meaning that what goes in a man was through his heart and filters through the Holy Spirit, if you allow it to. Jesus made it very clear that when he spoke to his disciples, I'll go to a place, I'll go to my Father. Matter of fact, we can go right back over to the book of John 14, and we can look right down at the 12th verse. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Come on, somebody. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto what? My Father. I showed you how it's supposed to be done. I created you to be little gods. I created you to have the same power that I have, if you can just believe. Not only the same power, I gave you the ability to have supernatural power. But sometimes there are things in our life that keep putting us in the opposite direction. You can't keep walking down the street in your life and bumping your head against the wall complaining about the knots on your head. Sometimes you got to make a full turn, a 180-degree turn in the opposite direction. Instead of making a 360-degree turn, you need to evolve faith in what we call a 3 o'clock position. And you need to move with the hand 3. And you need to move in that direction and believe that whatever it is in your life in this upcoming year, that there's somebody who died for you. Jesus, the word of God, comes in John 3:16, said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he shed his blood for the remission of your sins. Our word that came out of the book of Mark on yesterday was a very profound word, following up to just what we're speaking today.
John went about in the wilderness baptizing those for the remission of their sins. And when you read the book of John, it makes it very clear about what he was beginning to say to the people. They say, as John began to preach the word, as I turn over to look at this, they say, in the beginning of the word of the gospel of Christ, the Son of God, in chapter 1, in verse 1 of the book of Mark, he said, it is written that a prophet I sent before your face, a messenger before your face, which shall prepare the way for thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of what? Repentance. For the remission of what? Your sins. They say he did it in the wilderness. Jesus gave us more than we can imagine even think of. This is an indication of a powerful conclusion about why he had to go to his father. He had a man who paved the way for him, meaning when one was going down, another was being making the room for the true Messiah. John completely knew that he loved Jesus with all his heart. John the Baptist knew that his role here was to be able to go before God as the forerunner. It wasn't trying to be anything magnificent or better than anybody else. It wasn't trying for him to try to compare his ministry, his size, with anybody else. He knew what his lane was. He knew his area of the field. He knew what he was designed to come here and do. And this is the very word Jesus speaks to his disciples, that even when Mary ran to the tomb, she had doubt in her heart, that she didn't expect to see a disappearing body. Not only that, she didn't expect to hear the words that was coming from the very angel that stood above the tomb. And we see Mary Magdalene about to get mesmerized at the tomb. It's in the 11th verse of John 11, but Mary stooped at the sculpture weeping. In other words, Mary stood at the sculpture weeping, and she wept and she stood. She stood down and looked into the sculpture. That means she still hadn't believed it. She had to take a second look and looked into the sculpture. It lets me know that she was still in doubt. But in the 12th verse, a word came to her, a prophetic word, a powerful word. And they saw two angels in white setting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, for the body. Now look what it says. Where the body of Jesus, look, it had laid. It wasn't still there. There's a strong indication that the angels were the cherubim angels that represented the kingdom of God. The angels of the Prince of Peace, the angels of the Prince of Bible, God's guarding cherubims, had to bring a word to this woman of God and let her understand that what you're seeing right now is about to mess you up. Because you didn't believe in your heart that the word that the Messiah spoke there when he was here, that it was going to actually take place. But we came here as the angels of the Lord to guarantee and declare that we're going to drill this into your head, that you're not to ever doubt ever again about what was about to take place in your life. It goes over in the 13th verse, and they say unto her, woman, why do you weep? The truth that soon will be shouting after a while. And he said unto them, because they have taken away the Lord and have not known where they have laid him. And listen what the words of the angel begin to say. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing in you and knowing that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, woman, why do you weep? Whom do you seek? He asking her, I told you. Why are you still looking for something that's been risen? Man, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, and I declare the word right now. You and me as men and women of God have got to stop doubting the prophetic word, a word that comes truly through the scripture. Jesus himself had to appear to this woman of God in her mortified body and tell her, why are you weeping? Are you not understanding what I've told you before? Jesus said unto her, woman, why do you weep?
This is an indication to the asking by the angel. The same thing that asked you, the angels asked you. By virtue of his death in resurrection, he for all the principles and the purpose removed the weeping from this woman of God. For every purpose that she may have had in doubting that his body was stolen, he had to bring all things back to a man and get to believe the words that I told you are truth, that you're now looking at the resurrection. I am the Messiah. I am in my glorified body. And he said to her, do you seek, or whom do you seek? Supposing to be, you supposing, she supposed him to be in the grave, in other words. And it says, and she said, and he said unto her, if you have borne him, hence tell me where you have laid him. Look, she still hadn't get it. If you have taken him, in other words, in the Amplified version, if you have removed him from hearance, then tell me where you have taken him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary, turn your Mary. Jesus said to Mary, she turned to herself and said unto him, Rabbi, which says Master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not. Don't touch me, for I have not ascended to my Father. It's something about that you can't receive a word and you can't believe a word without seeing it. There's a problem with your faith. If you can't believe a word without seeing the events, there's a problem with you and our faith. Jesus came in the natural form of his glorified body and brought a powerful word to this woman of God. I'm here. I've done what I say I'm going to do. And what you need to do, really what he said, you need to get yourself together, because I've told you this was going to take place. You got your little herbs, your little spices in your hand. I told you that I'm about to get up out of here. And the only thing I'm telling you, when I leave here, I have to do something great. Because I go to settle on the side of my Father, who is in heaven. So it's not that I don't want you to cling to me, but I got to go. Because now you can't hold me here no more. Because you had me when I was here. Am I talking to somebody this afternoon? There's a word in the spirit that comes to men and women of God. And if you don't know how to hold to that word in faith, I ain't talking about the physical and tangible. I'm talking about faith. Then know that the word of God that he presents and tells you that's got all power to perform and do whatever it said it's going to do, you got a problem. The Bible said, adjust your walk by what? Faith. That's Romans 1 and 17. You have been free from the righteousness of the law, but now you have the righteousness of the kingdom. Everything you need in your life is in the kingdom. There's an inexhaustible, innumerable amount of everything you need in the kingdom of God. I don't know where you are in your life, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't know what you're going through as always, but I declare by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit that even as this story comes forth, you're going to have to get up and you have to get yourself together. You're going to have to repent by some things that you have been doubting that a man or woman of God has prophetically spoken into your life. The reason you can't believe it because you keep looking at the physical outcome. Your job is not to worry about the outcome. Your job is to have the faith to know that when you get to the outcome, it's going to prove that what it says it's going to do. Didn't Jesus say in his word that my word will not go void, but it would accomplish and prove that, and they're all in? He said that. Didn't he tell us over in Numbers 23:19-21, am I God that I should lie, or am I a son of a man that I should have to repent? I've been given a commandment to bless, and I cannot reverse it. Didn't he tell us over in Psalms 89 and 34, my covenant I will not alter? Sometimes we just got to learn how to get up and get yourself up out of little bar and learn how to trust God in some areas that's going in your life. Powerful word, powerful word. Mary Magdalene is investigating the tomb, and she goes back from an empty tomb and warns the disciples. Not only does she warn the disciples, she comes back in disbelief, believing that a physical accident took forth. She believed that Joseph or maybe Nicodemus or somebody removed the body. Ain't that like us in our carnal understanding?
We don't have enough belief to understand that even have a, the Bible says you got a faith that's just as much greater as a mustard seed. You can move mountains. And what we got to do is have more faith. We got to be men and women of God who know how to walk in the light, share the gospel, speak those prophetic words that God has put into our house. Attach yourself to a ministry, to a man of God who's speaking the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Don't worry about the size of the congregation. Don't worry about the edifice, the structure, the bricks and mortar. Your job is to go into that house of God with undoubting faith. That know that a God can speak a word just like he spoke to the fig tree that could change in 24 hours. And somebody come back and look at that situation you was in and say, hey, that's withered away. I'm talking about speaking something over your life. I'm talking about speaking about your health and your sickness and believe that God can deliver you if whatever it is you're going through. I don't know what you got going on in your life. I don't know what you're going through. But I'm telling you, man and woman of God, it's time for us to get up and get with God and believe that everything he said is going to come to full fruition. I'm opening up the line. For anybody who's going through, I open up these lines every night, and I offer salvation to anybody. You don't have to be in front of a building. You don't have to be in front of a people. It's a personal relationship that you have with Christ. And if you can't believe that God has come to deliver you from whatever it is that you're in, and if you keep thinking that you're too old, that you're running out of time, I'm telling you, you need to get you one of them Hezekiah understandings. And you know that God can add more time onto your life, that he can believe that he still can perform miracles in you and through you if you can just get yourself to believe. Sometimes you just got to get your fat head up and stop believing the things that's opposite and trim the fat off your brain, and you got to have some manner in your brain to believe that the word of God can bring you out of whatever it is that you're in. I don't care if you tore up from the floor up. I don't care if somebody got to pump light down to you. God can bring you out of whatever you're in, whatever condition you're in, whatever body aching you're in, whatever ailment you're dealing with. We're dealing with a supernatural God that does supernatural things. If you can't believe that the things that happen in this particular chapter, in chapter 20, that he let these women of God believe after all they doubting, that he stood before this woman of God and had to check her, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are we still dealing with dead situations in our lives? I believe the word of God speaks over in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says that all old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. That means you got some new things that's happened in your life. I was talking to a young minister today after work, and his name was Joseph, and his ministry is just taking off, and I gave him one of the CDs to Bishop Raymond Johnson, who talks about the supernatural faith and the supernatural spirit of God. And as his ministry begins to grow and take off, I believe God has got some things prepared for him because he seems like he's a very diligent young man and willing to walk with all the calls that God has for him to do. Sometimes you run across people, you don't meet somebody with not greater faith. And I'm telling you, when you got a discerning spirit, you will know what you're dealing with. You won't have to keep bumping your head against the wall and complaining. You won't have to keep on getting messed up from people who are telling you things and not fighting through with it. Sometimes you wear your heart on your sleeve too long, and after a while, somebody begin to snatch it. You got to know how to shield your heart. You got to know how to stop believing everything that you hear. And you got to take it to the Lord in prayer, just like Mary Magdalene had to do. But God had to send his son in the midst to get her to understand that you don't need to be seeking things and living among the dead. You need to get yourself up. And you need to come to understand that I'm going to do the work that my father called me to. It's finished. Go tell the disciples that I have risen. Tell them that I'm about to do something great. And if they believe in me, they'll do something greater in their life. That's what John 14:12 says. The greater works that you may do. Because I go to my father. But if you don't believe that he came to bring you out of whatever event is in your life, I'm telling you, you will keep on slipping and sliding. I heard that apostle down there in Houston, Texas say, God has got the power to break the back of lack. Whatever you lacking in your life, God has got the ability to snap it. I don't care if you're dealing with heart trouble. I don't care if you're dealing with alienating your spine. I don't care if you're dealing with any kind of lupus in your body. I don't care if you're dealing with blood disease. I don't care if you're dealing with arthritis. I don't care what you're dealing with. God is a God that he shall not lie. He's not a son of a man that he should have to repent. He said he's been given a commandment, and that commandment is to bless, but it comes to your faith and your belief. to know through him that everything and all things are possible. Sometimes in this apostolic walk, in this powerful walk, you know, you don't receive all the nods from everybody that you want to receive. But I believe as a man of God, I walk by faith and not by sight. You're going to get shunned. You're going to get pushed aside. People are going to doubt you. People are going to talk about you. But I'm telling you, you got to know how to put on your whole armor. And you got to be even know how to walk. You'll know when you come across a soothsayer, believe me. Those who revoke to their own way of understanding, the Proverbs 14 tells us about that. You know, there's a way that seems right to them, but the end is their death. Open up the lines for prayer. Those who want to release a prayer in their life, those who need to be prayed for, those who need to, who just want to come to Christ. You know, just believe that God can bring you out of whatever it is that you're in. You don't necessarily got to be in the building. You can do it right here on the phone. And we can do whatever we need to do to get your life right. Isn't this great that when we look at the power of Paul Crouch done, that he opened up the lines for every one of us to have this opportunity, that we don't have to be in a certain place, that all we got to do is reach out, hear what the man of God has to say through salvation, and believe and declare and decree that through him everything and all things are possible. Ain't that something? That all we got to do is just speak and declare a word, and God will bring it to full fruition according to your faith. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we need to know how to start walking and believing. Quit looking at the stylistic of things. Quit getting caught up in cliques, club titles, and positions. Oh, I'm this, I'm all that. The word of God does declare through the Apostle Paul that a man ought not more think more highly than he ought to think. And that's what we ought to know. He didn't say you can't think high. He just said you ought not but think more highly. Even as I begin to read the words of salvation, even as the lines light up for prayer, let them light up. But we want to say this prayer, and we want to believe that those who are going to bring their life to Christ, if you bow your head in the midst of me saying this prayer, I believe if you put your heart in it, God will deliver you. Now, hear me. God loves you. Sin separated people from God. Jesus died for your sins. You can receive Jesus Christ now and know God's love if you confess, come on somebody, with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Pray this prayer out loud with me. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name I repent of my sins and I open my heart to let you come inside of me. Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for my sins and you were raised from the dead. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, amen. The reason I said it slowly, for you wouldn't miss out on what Christ is offering you right now. Time is running out for a lot of people. Believe it or you're not going to believe it. You can come to Christ. You can choose Delilah, as I talked about. You know what happened to Samson? He played around with her too much. You know, whatever side you own, it's the side you're going to get judged on. Am I talking with somebody? I just want to thank each and every one of you as I close out in prayer that I believe that every condition in the body of every one of your people, Lord, as we pray the prophetic prayer of healing over every one of their bodies, Lord, I declare that you shut down every form of cancer, every form of breast cancer, every form of ovarian cancer in the name of Jesus, Father God. I'm asking you to wrap cancer in the blood chains of Jesus and send it back to hell in which it comes from. I shut down every form of back pain, every form of arthritis, every form of heart disease in the name of Jesus. I shut down diabetes. I believe in the name of Jesus, every form of lung condition in the body of your people, Father God, every thyroid problem, Lord, I loosen in the name of Jesus. I declare by the word of God and by the power of spirit that you begin to reunite husbands and wives, that they'll come together to be as one as you continue to pour your spirit out into their lives. Let the power of your word begin to go into their households. Let it convict and let it arrest, Father God. Let them receive the engraftation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, that
they may receive the word of speaking in tongue and declare by the word of God that it's not through education, but it's through revelation, that they continue to find a place where they can go in and serve you, Father God, faithfully. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father God, I speak a word over every one of the lives of every individual who listen to this archives and this broadcast, that they be delivered in such a way, Father God, that the Holy Spirit will come through this phone, through the studio, and just knock them out, Father God, in the spirit, and just slay them like they've never been slain before. Clean them up of everything that's in their life, Father God. Bring forth the very things that they need, Father God. Touch their finances in the name of Jesus. Touch that man or woman of God who's praying for that grandmother, Father God. Touch my mother in the name of Jesus with a supernatural healing power. Father God, I'm asking you to sustain her in the name of Jesus. Let the power of your spirit begin to move up and down her bedroom, Father God. Touch every one of my sisters and brothers, Father God. Let your spirit begin to touch them, Father God, and move in every area of their life. Lord, I'm asking you to lay your hands through the spirit of the angels on my sister-in-law, Lord. Heal her in her body in the name of Jesus, Father God. Let the very caps or whatever it is that alienate any one of your children, Lord, be removed right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, because you're God. And beside you, there is no other. Lord, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you begin to touch this household. Let your spirit begin to roam. Loose your angels, Father God. Let your cherubim begin to move all around this place. Let us be best in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father God. Touch my young daughter, Lord. Touch every one of my siblings, Father God. Put your hedge of protection around them, Father God. And I'm asking you, Father God, whatever is not that they need, Lord, speak a word over their life that they may come to understand that whatever they speak and declare and decree, it be just like the word you said in John 1, Father God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with, and the word was with God. That everything that they speak, Father God, will come to full term. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I thank you, Father God, for everyone who listened to these archives. I thank you, Father God, for everyone who tried to come against us, Father God, as we continue to love our enemies, Father God, because you said the battle was not ours, Father God, but it's yours, Father God. I decree by the word of God and by the power of your Holy Ghost, Father God, that you begin to mesmerize the mind of your people in the name of Jesus. Father God, let your spirit move like a whirlwind in the life of every individual, Father God. Let it move, Father God. Let it begin to loose everything in the name of Jesus, Father God. Man and woman of God that are loose, their families are loose, their finances are loose, their bodies are loose from every sickness and disease in the name of Jesus, Father God. Whatever shortcomings is going on in your life, Father God, I'm asking you to mend and heal, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for everyone, Father God, who's sustaining their job, Father God. Give them the wisdom for farming, go higher, Father God. Give them the income that they need, Father God, that they may take care of their families in such a way that they never took care of before, Father God. And every one of the enemies that's around us, Father God, begin to deal with them in a way through the Spirit, Father God. I shut down every negative voice, Father God, every negative ear, Father God, and every soothsaying spirit, Father God, to come under the unction of the power of the revelation of the Holy Ghost. Touch every one of my classmates in the name of Jesus. Touch every one of my friends in the name of Jesus, Father God. Heal them in their bodies, Father God. Heal them in their business, Father God. Give them everything they need according to the Spirit. Let them move and let them live long, Father God. Heal their bodies in whatever condition they may be in, Father God, that they may know that you're God, and beside you there is no other. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, that even as we begin to launch forth and do all that you declared us to do, Father God, that we will be moved in such a way, Lord, that it'll mess up the mind of every evil spirit to try to come against that which you have created. Father God, let your vision begin to flow, Father God. Let it flow up and down and all around. Let it move in the minds of the people, Father God. And you bring that remnant that we always needed, Father God, to help the very areas of this ministry to continue to move forward, Father God. I declare your word and I decree your word. I call it to go forth. I know it won't go back void. We're to do everything that you're planning according to your word. Father God, these things I'm asking not of myself, but the power of the Most High God. Heal my friends in the name of Jesus. Oh, I feel the Spirit. Heal them, Father God. All who's on the brink of sickness, all who's on the brink of death, Lord, bring them back in the name of Jesus. They are recognized and know that you're God. Beside you, there's no other. Lord, fill them with the engrafted power of the Holy Ghost. Father God, give them the speaking in tongues, the revelation of the insights of the Spirit, Father God, that they'll see everything that they need, Father God, that they'll begin to declare and decree Romans 4:17, to call things that be not though if they were. Father God, I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And as we continue to move forth, Father God, let these words that I speak out of the mouth of this prophet continue to move forth. Touch my pastor friend, Father God. Touch the Apostle Walker in the name of Jesus. Look over Pastor Joyce, Father God, as she heads into surgery this tomorrow afternoon, Father God. I'm asking you to heal the body of this woman, Father God, that even when she come out of the surgery, Father God, she'll come out with flying colors in the name of Jesus, Father God, that every hindrance that's ever been in her body, Father God, that she'll walk better than she ever walked before, Father God, and that apostle will have a smile on his face because you already said in your word, Father God, that power is in my hands. The power is through you, Father God. If we just have a faith to know and believe, Father God, that she takes the surgery, Father God, that her body will be healed from every condition, Father God, that nothing will go abruptly, Father God, nothing will go bad, that she'll come from under the anesthesia, Lord, feeling fine in the name of Jesus, Father God. I declare the word and I prophesy healing on her life right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, and every prophetic word that I spoke over every one of your children, Father God, I'm actually let them grab back and pull it forth, Father God, to know that it doesn't have an expiration date on it, that it's got the power to perform and do all that in therein. Lord, loose your spirit right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, and I decree and I declare and I call it been done in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pray, Lord, amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for joining us. I thank you for being a part of our program. I thank you that you heard a word that will truly touch your heart. I'm Pastor Charles Ellis, head Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas. For those who want more information about me and my wife in this ministry, you can go to www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. And there you see all the information, contact emails, and everything you need to get a hold of me, even prayer requests. For those who want to contact me personally can do so. If I'm not available to answer the phone at that particular time, please leave me a message, and I will get back to you. The number is 214-870-2146. God bless you. God keep you. And I'm going to leave you with the word as always, that he reigns forever. Thank you for being a part of this program of the Power of the Harvest.